with Beckham. Okay, ladies, gentlemen, guests, it is now 5 o'clock. We are ready to start our meeting. So if you would, we would start with your pledge allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a moment of silence. Okay, thank you very much. We are now ready to start our meeting, and we've taken care of the preliminaries. So now I'd like to welcome our guests. If you'd like to have a few words, who you are and your...
Samantha. I graduated here in 2015, and I'm doing observation hours for Dell Tech.
I'm also Samantha.
I graduated from Polytech in 2015.
Okay, great. So, tech. So, what do you think? You like Sussex Tech? Interested or good? Okay, very good. I guess our next thing is we need to go into executive session. So, we will go into executive session for, I'm not sure, shouldn't be very long. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
It's been moved in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Terry. Opposed? There being none, motion carried.
No, unfortunately.
We didn't eat the pizza, did you?
Okay. You can have my slice, buddy. She's sick for people.
Yeah.
How are you today?
She's ate dinner, man.
Yep. Everybody here? Everybody here is going to be here. We need to have a request of motion for approval of the agenda as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion? Okay. Request approval of the meeting minutes for February 13th.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay, Mr. Owens, you're up.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Just going to highlight a few things for you from our March report, and if you have any questions about any of the other items, be happy to entertain them. Enrollment is at 2,857. We're holding pretty steady compared to previous years. Our Health Pro programs enrollments are running a little bit lower, obviously. We attribute that to the fact that the grant money the state normally provides us is not really available this year. So a lot of those folks that participated in our programs are unable to do so due to lack of tuition assistance. Other items in the health profession, some good news. As I think I shared with everybody in a previous meeting, the blue collar grant that we normally get, that we apply for every year from the State Department of Labor, they're making several adjustments to that grant. So this year, 1 year only, versus doing an RFP, they've just decided to roll it over. So we'll get the same amount of funding and we'll get the same amount of seats that we got last year. So we're happy because we don't have to go through that rigorous grant process. We know what we can do. We can start advertising and be ready to go July 1st. Health profession staff keeps continuing to do a phenomenal job. Just this week, we had 7 students sit for their national certification exam as certified medical assistants and certified medical billing and program. We had 100% success rate.
Right.
So those folks are all nationally certified. So very proud of them, as well as the staff. that continues to do a great job. With regard to apprenticeships, just want to highlight for you that the state of Delaware got a pretty significant grant from the U.S. Department of Labor. And what they're focusing on is in that grant is some new, they're trying to develop some new apprenticeship programs statewide. So they're working with all the VOTECs on that. A couple of the areas that they are featuring are they're trying to get more apprenticeships in the automotive tech industry, as well as in carpentry and carpentry management. Also, potentially a little bit in hospitality, although that's the window is still open on that a little bit. Anyway, they're starting with auto tech. We're holding a breakfast here on March 16th with the Department of Labor and a number of folks from the automotive industry here in Sussex County. The idea is to bring them in, have the Department of Labor officials talk with them as well as our own folks. We're trying to encourage them to work with us in developing some career ladders for their folks in return for them developing some apprenticeships. So we're going to meet with them. Right now we have a commitment from about 12 dealerships or garages to send some folks here, and hopefully we'll do that. Yes, sir.
Will we have to hire an instructor, or our instructor will be able to take care of that?
Actually, we believe our instructor that we use, the folks we use in the evening programs, will be able to do it. Unless, now what it may entail, depending on what they want, what we've heard previously from these folks, and Dr. Lathbury can attest to this, we've tried to be pushing these auto tech programs for years. A lot of these folks, if it's GM training or Honda training or something along that, what they want you to do is they want you to do the bare essentials. They want you to train them how to change oil, how to change tires, how to do that to get them in the door. And then they have sort of their off-the-shelf specialized training in automotive. Again, remember, a lot of these folks are folks who are, you know, on dire straits, very much in need of jobs. And so the idea is to get them back in the workforce in an entry-level position and then grow them. Can I follow up?
Yeah, I'll follow you. But the apprenticeship is normally, they sponsor their employees. Is this correct?
That's correct.
Well, most initially, that's fine because they need to know how to change oil. But,
right.
But I'm wondering if they are actually going to get the guy on the street that's unemployed, that needs a job, needs, you know, experience and training to get a job. I mean, you're taking people from already working in the automobile industry and teach them how to change oil, which they're already doing, and changing tires.
Well, what they're trying to do, Mr. Torbert, is they're trying to promote a whole new area. They're trying to promote people right now that are currently unemployed, bringing them into the fold, saying, Hertrick, if you hire this guy,
okay,
then we're going to train him. So it's not so much their current people. It's developing a whole new cadre of people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see how it works. And they're doing this in all three counties, by the way. Same programs in all three counties, statewide program. Apprenticeship graduation, right around the corner, April 27th. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. That's always a nice event.
How many?
Normally that runs around, I think that number usually runs around 200 or so. And the number should be about the same this year.
What time is that?
Typically, we try to get things rolling right around 7 p.m. We line up around 6:45, and then we march in at 7. But we'll get Ms. Albright, we'll send you some information out prior to so you have it. Ms. Albright will remind me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's nice. James H. Groves, 5 graduates right now. Going to continue, as in years past, we'll be working over Easter break. Again, our staff is going to step up and, you know, we're working to identify folks that are close, trying to get them over the hump between now and June when the graduation will take place. Last thing I have for you is just to give you an update on our extended learning programs. We had a meeting with Widener officials on March the 6th. Very positive meeting. They came to the table. We kind of were wanting to listen to them. They're very interested in extending our agreement with them, which runs out next year. So they feel it's been a win-win for them, so they want to extend it. We certainly want to extend it because it's been good for our kids. They're very open to looking at other programs, other courses that we might be able to offer. I'm sorry, Ms. Carey, I feel like I got my back to you.
You're okay. Thank
you. Okay. So they're very amenable to looking. We've talked to them about some other options. Also with Dell Tech, speaking a little bit for Dr. Sell, that relationship continues as well, very positive. But Widener was going to go back and look at some options for us and then come back to us. But I think we all left there feeling very good about that we're going to re-up that agreement and continue that program for our kids. So. Any questions I can answer for anybody? Yes, sir.
Can I make a comment? I had a chance to go to watch the new governor speak in front of a community group in Milford last Wednesday night. The first thing our new governor said at that meeting was, we have got to figure out a way to help our high school graduates and our unemployed get jobs. Not just because it is the right thing to do, but because we need them to start paying taxes. And I thought to myself, well, come on down and visit us in Georgetown. Because not only does our day program do just that, but the night program is pretty remarkable in what it does.
Thank you.
But that's his main point.
Sure. Okay. Seeing no questions, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm not going to read everything here to you, but kind of piggybacking on what you see here in your board report, we have 24 criminal justice students that now have earned a certification to go right into the job force. So we can help the governor out with that too. We got some paralegals here and we have some dispatchers. So whatever he needs, we can do that. One quick point of notification, just so you're not surprised when we give you the agenda book in the next month's board meeting. We are changing our grading scale to go to a more traditional form of the 100 to 90 and the 89 to the 80, so to speak. Done some research, makes our students more competitive locally with grade point averages, things like that, as well as it's a national trend to kind of go back to that traditional scale. That's just a point of reference so you know when you see the agenda book, it's not a big surprise. Okay, moving on down here, you see that we, in our winter sports, we had some success with our wrestlers. As you can see, again, I won't read line for line, but just kind of look there. One name in particular, just want to give you another note for this young man, Mr. Robert Van Pelt. He is waiting any day to find out if he's going to be accepted into the Merchant Marine Academy. So we're very proud of him. We're all kind of waiting. Hopefully he gets that great news. Looking at our BPA, more opportunities for work. We have some first place winners here, that's here in the state. They'll be going on to the national competition. Next month's board meeting, I have some for our Educators Rising, which is the old teacher entry club for high schools. We have some first place winners and second place winners for that as well. So we'll be sending many folks to the national competitions. And the last thing, but not least, it's not on the board report, okay, because it's a ways away, but I just want you to know.
Another band trip?
Yeah. 2019, though.
Oh.
19.
Okay.
It must be a
the
big
selection.
One.
Yes, it North is.
China?
No. Pasadena, California.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Rose Bowl.
So. Rose Bowl.
Really?
Oh, air
we,
fare.
Now, here we go. This is very premature. But I wanted to give you a heads up ASAP because Mr. Kenny got a handwritten letter to apply. Oh. But you're not asked to apply to be turned down. Basically, they're seeing what kind of shape you're in as a band. If you can come out and be what we've heard about you, come on over to California and let's smell the roses together. But he wanted to rush down, came down, showed it to me, said, listen, I'm just wanting to give folks a heads up early in the process. Okay, so we'll see if we got accepted or not, but we have been asked to apply.
When does acceptance come? How soon?
Well, hopefully by the summer, honestly. Okay. Hopefully by the summer. He asked me, could he apply? Oh yes.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
Asked me, could he apply? I'm thinking, why not? You mean you'd be invited to dinner, you don't go, you don't eat, so that's kind of bad. So apply and then we'll see how it works. But you got basically a year and a half, well almost 2 years. Because that's New Year's Day 2019. You got basically 2 years to get yourselves together and to be prepared to lighten the load on the families and the students.
They doing anything this year on the small side?
I've asked them not to.
Okay.
But we this year in the budget we'll be trying to replace some instruments. We have purchased some instruments a while ago before Mr. Kenny that out of China that don't sell replacement parts. So when they're gone, pretty much they're disposable. So he's trying to work a deal now with B&B. So that's going to be a nice bit of change.
Yeah. I was ignoring it.
All right. No. Okay, if you don't have any questions, I'm going to sit down.
Thank you, Doc.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Good job, sir.
All right. Who's next? Mr. Aiken.
Good evening, everyone. Just on the operations side, including transportation, you know, keep moving forward. With this weather coming in, we're just fingers crossed that the building envelope stays where it is and doesn't get moist inside. With all the wind we've had throughout the winter, we've had even on some of the baseball dugouts and things like that get damaged. So resources are trying to put them where they're needed. Transportation, we have fully fulfilled the 4 hours of training that the previous legislations put into place and processed the money through that to our bus drivers as well. So we're following along with all the regulations we have and more coming and everything else. But other than that, we just keep moving forward. Any questions or anything?
Have we used up the bond money up for the district office and the other projects?
Not yet. It's not used up yet.
How much we got left?
Different projects have different amounts remaining. Anywhere from 80,000 to 500, depending where
you
are.
Do you foresee when that will be gone?
Well, we want to have everything encumbered before the end of this fiscal year. So actually spent out, it could linger past there, but we do want to have everything encumbered prior to the end of this fiscal year so that we have our plan in place, everything encumbered, everything to roll forward.
Will that mean that we will have to keep a construction manager up until all that time?
According to what the board recommendation was prior to that, we would keep them through the expenditure of those funds.
Plans are June 30 if we can ever get past our preliminary plans with DOE. Right now, just splitting hairs.
But that 500 is still sitting there somewhere, right?
Oh, the other one. You're talking about the other.
Yes, sir, it is. It's sitting in a state appropriation.
Yes.
We don't have it.
We physically have it. Yes, sir.
Physically, yes.
Yes, but we've been told not to touch it.
Right.
Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I will make apologies for Dr. Sell this evening. He's not able to be here with us. He's suffering from a really, really bad back. So keep him in your prayers.
The tennis coach.
I think he was doing the MRI route today. Ooh. And so hopefully just keep him in your mind. And as Dr. Denby alluded to, and in your board packets, you have the most updated calendar platform. So, Mr. President, we would need a motion to go ahead and approve the calendar so we just can submit it to DOE.
Is this done to?
Yes.
Okay.
And
I didn't finish my sentence.
Yeah, I read your mind.
Okay.
And also to acknowledgement of the grading scale to match the higher ed and give our kids more opportunities with scholarship potential. So if we could get a motion for approval, that would be go huge for us moving on.
Okay. I'd request a motion to approve the 17-18 calendar as well as the new grading scale as presented. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Everybody against? Okay.
Thank you very much. Dr. Siegert, all you, sir.
Sorry for all that noise. We're trying out a new way of interfacing now, and for some reason, whenever I first get the connection, if I don't have the microphone on silence, it makes all this background noise. I don't know if somebody's trying to come in and actually spy on our presentation or not. I'm sure they are.
It's familiar, doesn't it?
UFOs,
yeah, that's probably it.
A Russian.
Anyway, the document is behind us as well as on your iPad. So for the visitors, what we do here is this: these are the financial statements as of January. Okay, so you can see the benchmarks as of the end of January. That's 7 months out of the 12-month fiscal year, roughly 58% of the fiscal year done, and it's 15 payrolls out of the 26 payrolls, or roughly 57.7% of the payrolls are done. Now, tonight what I want to do is go through the financials, which will be very quick because we spent so much time with the Decembers last time. January is as plain vanilla as it gets. But I also want to share some things that our governor discussed last Wednesday at the public forum in terms of the budget crisis that the state is facing, because I think that's more important than the plain vanilla January reports. But let's go through this so we are all certainly on the same page. Our most important revenue, property tax. As you can see, you saw these same numbers last time we were together. As of January, we've collected $9.8 million. That's 98%. You can see the February numbers are loaded now as well. And you can see as of the end of February, we've got almost 99%. The good news is we're on track to collect about 101% of what we predicted, and that's always good. The bad news is, as you get tired of me saying, aren't you, it's sluggish. It's not as good as it was last year. Last year we collected 102%. And obviously 1% of $10 million is money I sure would like to have. It's an extra 100 grand. But anyway, the number to track here tonight is $9.8 million. Let's track that. Let's go over to the total discretionary revenue budget. The only story we're talking about here is in the middle of our revenue streams. You have that $9.8 million. In fact, what that amounted to is $151,000 increase in property tax revenue for that 1 month. And that's pretty much it, guys. If you look at the state revenue, as you know, last month we finally got the backloads. So the bottom line is the state money is the same as it was last month. The gate receipts, we did have some basketball games. We've got extra $6,000 in gate receipts. Indirect costs, the same as it was last time. For the most part, the only difference in revenue this month, January versus December, is that tweak up in property tax, which isn't really a lot of money, but that's the difference. Okay, so total revenues, we had budgeted, we'd expected $11.8 million by the time we're done. We've collected $11.6 million right now. That's 98.5% of collections. We will come in above budget on the revenue side, which is always a reassuring thing. On the expenditure side, we're continuing to do our best as your motivation behind it. We definitely want to control our expenditures, even though we are sitting currently at 58% of the payrolls gone. We've only spent 42% of the funds, and some of that, as you know, is encumbered. So we're really doing the best we can to prepare for the state budget crisis, as well as the funding cliff that will hit us. And you'll see in a couple minutes the projection for the end of year balance to help us get through the next few fiscal years. Bottom line, you had approved an expenditure budget of $13.4 million. To date, we've spent $5.6 million. That's 42%. Two quick items of importance. You will notice, please, that the contingency line, which was in the red last month by just a couple thousand dollars, to make this more transparent, the reason it's in the red is because part of the one-time purchases we deal with are construction monies that are beyond anybody's reasonable budget. And with the addition of hospitality, with the state disapproving the CN, with the building getting older and older, maintenance is going to continue to be an issue. So I think to be more transparent, rather than having that as part of the contingency line, with your approval, I'd like to do it like you see right here, moving forward, a separate line for locally funded construction. If I do that, then you'll notice you didn't approve a budget already. So what's been approved so far? Zero. Indirectly, you did approve it because you see the 306 in contingency, right? So you see what I'm doing here, right?
It's cleaner, though, especially to purchase for the cafeteria we can pick up on.
Absolutely. So this would be more transparent. So I appreciate that. Again, expenditure side looking good. Let's talk cash flow now because this is so important to us as we get ready to, you know, to brace ourselves for the funding cliff. Once again, one final time, we've collected $9.8 million in property tax revenue this fiscal year. We've spent $4.6 million of that particular type of money, property tax. That means we haven't spent even half of it. We currently have $5.3 million left in property taxes that we collected this year. Add to that what we ended the year with last year, $5 million, and we currently have, in our coffers, we have $10.3 million currently in our reserve balance. That means just doing a straight extrapolate it out, and you know this number is not real, but if you extrapolate this out, then we should end the year with over $7 million. The back of the year is always more expensive than the front of the year. We all know about step increases and other things that cost more on the second side. Plus, you know what the weather's like. The utility bills are definitely going to be higher, right? So it won't be $7.2 million. It's probably going to be closer to $6.5 million is what I'm feeling right now. But let's see how the next, see how cold it is the next couple months. That will be part of it. Anyway, that's it for the basic financials. I know that you look at the student accounts and they're looking good. Yes, we have finally made the transfer for the class of 16. It's now in an account that we're going to try to accrue some money to get a new sign out front. You know, we're going to try to get into the modern century with a sign out front that really shows who we are and events, an electronic type of a sign, a digital type sign. And then the next thing is the CNS, the cafeteria. Once again, you see that it's $2,000 in the red this month, right? You see that it's accrued $190,000 in the red, right? We know that the bulk of that is money that we saved over the years to do major work in there, such as the new serving lines. You back off $170,000, $180,000 of that $200,000, that's truly what we think will be in the red by the time we're done. Obviously, as we get to the end of this year, we have to make some decisions with Child Nutritional Services, how we're going to operate the balanced budget moving forward. It's a learning exercise. We're making a lot of enhancements over there, and they certainly have a balance sufficient to cover the overage. But right now, as you've noticed, the CNS operation is in the red. Okay, so it's important for me to highlight that and emphasize that. That's it for the January financials. I'd like to discuss the governor's presentation, but so I don't forget, because you know sometimes I'll forget, the most important thing is I need you, please, if there aren't any more questions, to make a motion and approve the January financials as presented. And meanwhile, I'll pass this out.
So moved.
Request my...
Thank you.
Request a motion to approve the January finances.
So moved, yeah.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Discussion. So be it.
Thank you, folks. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got plenty more. You might need some more. As you guys probably already know this, but our new governor, this is so impressive. You know, rather than just taking Governor Markell's, no adjectives, taking Governor Markell's projected FY17 budget and running with it, he has completely stepped back. And he's going out into the community and he's addressing the budget crises and he's explaining our situation and he's asking the taxpayers to provide suggestions. He's been going all around the state. On the very back of this, I've attached a list that shows you where he's going to be next. It looks like this, and it bleeds over to the back, but this shows you where he's going to be next in case you want to try to catch one of these. You can see at the very bottom of that last page, you can see that it was March the 8th at 6 o'clock that he was at the Milford Firehouse, mm-hmm. right? And that's where I saw him. At the 16th, he's up in Wilmington. If you flip that page over, you can see where else he's going to be coming up. But guys, If you want to provide some feedback to the governor, right on the front page there's a link, and you can go there, and it's just a form you fill out, and you can make suggestions as to you know, as to either enhancing the revenue side or the expenditure side, or both of the state budget. All right, let me make this quick. He did a great job. He started off not with this, but by saying that he cares about our kids, and his number one thing is to provide job opportunities for our kids and for the unemployed. And I thought, man, this is a good start, right? And so I like where he's coming from, but I'm a little bit scared because the next two slides, he showed what's driving the budget deficit. And what's the word at the top? Education, right? Now, the good news here is the way he presented it made the audience aware of the fact that we're really increasing in enrollments in Delaware. And if you increase in enrollments, you need more teachers and you need more textbooks. And so naturally, the cost is going to go up. But his main point in the first two slides, where he shows increasing student enrollment and increasing number of employees, is that Delaware has a $4.1 billion budget, right? But if you go to the very back of the first slide, you see this. So Delaware has a take a look at the first slide right there, where you see the three boxes. On the expected revenue side, it's $3.9 billion. Everybody see that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Show the camera. Just show the camera real quick.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. We'll send it to you, too. So there's a $3.9 billion revenue budget. The problem is the one in the middle shows you what the expenditure budget is, and it's $4.3 billion. That's a problem. That's a $350 million budget deficit. That's roughly an 8% budget deficit. And as you know, Delaware state law is not like federal law. We got to have a balanced budget. So he's got to cut $350 million between now and June the 30th. Okay? So he then focused on the largest expenditure line in the state budget is the public education budget, which is out of the 4.1 or 4.2 in the general fund budget, we are 1.4 billion public ed. We're about 34% of that budget. So somehow the emphasis is going to shift to us as far as cutting. It's hard for us to do that because his slides indicate that enrollment is going up. And if enrollment increases, you're going to have more, not less, money to support those kids, especially if you want those kids to get good jobs and start being taxpayers in the future. So he emphasized enrollment and he emphasized the number of new employees. Now, somebody in the audience noticed that the enrollment numbers are going up about 1% a year, but the number of employees is going up about 15% a year. So what's up with that? The governor did a great job of explaining that the special ed numbers in Delaware are skyrocketing, as is special ed litigation. And because of that, it's not a correlation between number of students and number of faculty. For example, regular kids, one teacher can cover 16 to 20 kids. Special ed kids, you may have to have one paraprofessional for one kid. You may have to have one teacher for four kids. And so the number of employees is going to have to go up if we're going to meet the law as far as serving these kids. So the number one thing he emphasized in terms of his expenditure budget is education, which is very, very difficult to cut, if not impossible, is the largest line. So we've got some challenges because enrollments are going up. The second thing he emphasized is that America has a huge problem with healthcare costs. And how that manifests in state budgets is in the Medicaid budget. The Medicaid budget, which is health insurance for the poor and for some disabled, is funded 100% by the state and the federal government. Therefore, it is the number one thing that's bankrupting most states. Delaware's not almost bankrupt, but it's what's hurting our budget. Medicaid is the second largest line in the state budget after public education. It's 18% of the state budget, Medicaid. And unlike us, it's running away at a much faster pace, and there isn't a direct correlation between the number of people. The correlation there is that medical costs are going up more and more each year. There's nothing we can do about it. It's basically what he was saying. So that was very scary. The next thing he did after going into detail about those two big expenditure lines is he talked about how creative Delaware is and its revenue streams, and where you're creative, you can also find challenges. He emphasized that Delaware has no statewide property taxes. I hope that doesn't imply that he's going to create one. He emphasized that Delaware has no sales tax, like most states have sales tax, and I hope we don't mess with that. He then talked about how we rely on corporate America and how more than 60% of the S&P 500 companies are domiciled right in Delaware because of our chancery courts and our good taxation system. Corporate America pays more than individuals do in terms of taxes to Delaware. Corporations are extremely important to our funding in Delaware. So we are different, was the governor's point, but with those differences come some challenges. So he laid all that out, and then he opened it up. He did have a slide, but he didn't cover it. This is Governor Markell's estimated budget, and he didn't even cover that because it's off the table. He then turned to the audience and he said, share your ideas. And it went from fun and lunacy to some serious things. First, the fun and the lunacy. All we have to do to balance the budget is legalize marijuana. That two people actually, I'm not exaggerating, two people actually said that, okay? So the governor dismissed that. He assured everybody he would entertain that in the future, but that's not something he's going to do right now. To legalize marijuana requires an extensive study. Some states have done that. There's been a lot of problems with the new states. He's going to study it, but there's no way that's part of the formula this year.
Second-term
thing. So other people talked about property taxes. He poo-pooed that as well. And so he didn't really offer a whole lot of great suggestions. He really just listened, okay? He promised a draft budget within the next month. As you know, Delaware estimates its revenue through an independent group called the Delaware Economic Finance Advisory Council, DFACT. And DFACT is meeting a week from today, and they'll give him revised revenue estimates.
He's coming out 2 days after that. Ed.
Yes, sir. With his
2 to 3 days
estimated budget. Yes, ma'am.
A suggestion would be to increase the taxes for secondary residents.
I like that a great deal.
Did you talk about gas tax also?
No.
I understand that.
The only thing is he assured us that there was going to be a cost sharing. There was going to be cuts and there was going to be revenues in the new budget. Would not elaborate any further than that.
He also came out today too. I don't know how many folks saw it. He came out today and he's proposed 75 new correctional officers. He wants the General Assembly to fund that this year as well as related equipment. So that would have
that may just about cover the amount that left.
Between that and the amount of overtime that's being that'll cover a good part of it too.
Yes.
You know, one thing he emphasized I thought was impressive is it isn't just a matter that we have to increase taxes to get increased revenues or we have to cut programs to reduce expenditures. What he wants to do, it goes to his very first statement, what he wants to do is boost the Delaware economy so that the economy generates more income. That's why the emphasis on jobs and the emphasis on students graduating from high school and getting a job. So I like that, but man doesn't have a lot of time, does he? It's FY17 and it's the last quarter coming. So
did he give any ideas of any new industry that's coming in?
No. He was not specific.
So where are these new jobs?
Yeah. Good question.
They wish they had some of the money. The economic development wasted on Fisker.
Somebody brought up Fisker and took my task on that.
And Bloom, fuel cells and some of these other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of waste.
Corporate welfare was brought up as something we should not do in the future. I've talked too long. I apologize, but I can't go to a budget hearing and not come back excited. Come on.
You're a money guy.
Are there any questions or comments, though? Or are we okay?
We're good. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, sir.
We have two more things to vote on, I believe. One is to request a motion to approve the personnel request that was presented.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? And the second thing,
I would just be one, but we've got a couple informational items. Don't forget, and many or a few of you are already going to your NSBA conference, and I hope you have an enjoyable conference. Bring back some really good things. As another point of reference for your point of information, sent to your emails just a few minutes ago. In reference to our former superintendent and the first principal of our full-time high school, Dr. Savini has had a reoccurrence after almost 8 years. So please keep him in your prayers. And just got word from text from him a while ago. He's just started his treatment today. So, you know, he's a fighter. He'll be on it. So a little bit more of the details is in your email for you. But he said it's at liberty to share. And there's even his contact email if you're interested
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it Delaware yeah. Air that does it to me?
Pardon?
Is it Delaware Air that does
it? Because he was in Texas for a while.
Yeah.
Statistically, Delaware is a yeah. hotbed yeah, for many kinds of cancer. That's it, sir.
Well, are we going to deal with that other issue or not?
Which one?
The appeal?
Facilities use, we're going to bring that back and you're going to approve the change.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that we're going to do. You're bringing it back the next meeting. Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
we'll bring it back. We know the concept. We're following it.
Request a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second.
Aye. Bobby got it, right?
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, board. And thank you, guest. That's it, guys.
Sorry for the delay. Sorry for the